Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have us on the line from Southern California, Chris Pinto, and those of you who have not seen his videos, which we have been offering for some time, that is Megiddo 1, which is about 2 hours and 15 minutes. Fascinating analysis, very professionally done, with lots of graphics there, but of course it's the story of prophecy from Daniel all the way right up to where we are today. World War I, World War II, World War III, because, ladies and gentlemen, you may not know it, you may not pretty feel it, but we are in World War III, and terrible, terrible things lie ahead. And then, of course, Megiddo 2, which is a three-hour, very professionally done video. We've had so many good comments on this. And this simply traces humanity from the Garden of Eden and the serpent right up to what's going on today. And I play a little part in that, where you'll hear me talking about Helena Petrovna Blavatsky and the Georgia Guidestones. And you'll see the Georgia Guidestones. This monument, the American Stonehenge. We all hear about the English Stonehenge, but why doesn't anybody ever talk about the American Stonehenge? Certainly it's far more mysterious. Here it was built back in 1980, and nobody knows who the man was who put up the money. He used a false name, and he said he represented a secret group, but nobody knows what the secret group was. And satanic groups meet there, and they have their satanic ceremonies, and the people in Elberton know it's terribly bad, but you know, anybody speaks out against it. A couple of ministers have tried to speak out against it, and of course they've lost their parishes there. They've had to move on. Nobody is allowed to talk about what this is really about, and you'll actually see the pictures of the Georgia Guidestones, but you don't want to hear me talk. I'm sure you'd much rather hear Chris Pinto, who's come up with a great new video, and of course along with Joe Schimmel. And Pastor Joe Schimmel, if you don't know who he is, he's done a series of, we think, is really really outstanding. It's called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour versions. So many of our listeners have gotten those, have watched them, and of course they understand it really, truly, the true, truly demonic nature of so much of what's going on today. Well, Chris, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me yet again, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be here.
And, of course, your last video production is The Occult Agenda, and, of course, the first film in The Occult Agenda is?
Is Harry Potter a spirit conspiracy? With a question mark.
Is Harry Potter a spirit conspiracy? Well, what's the answer? Is Harry Potter part of this whole occult agenda, and is it designed as targeting our children across America?
Well, we think it is. We think that the Potter mania that has swept all the way across the world is just a little bit too overwhelming for it simply to be just, you know, the result of J.K. Rowling's imagination and, you know, creative marketing and so on. As we've talked about before, the Harry Potter books have been translated into some 55 languages around the world. CNN claims everything from Albanian to Zulu. The books have been translated into.
Is that from A to Z?
From A to Z. And that the only book in history that's been translated into more languages than the Harry Potter books is the Bible, which I found to be pretty startling.
And a little frightening, because, of course, this is an introduction to witchcraft, witchcraft A1 and witchcraft B2 and witchcraft B3 and B4 and B5. You know, how many books are out there right now? Hold a moment. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming today from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our guest this afternoon is Chris Pinto, who's put out several videos which we carry, which we think are excellent. Megiddo 1, which is 2.25 hours. Megiddo 2, which is 3 hours. Very professionally done, except the last part of Megiddo 3, where I appear in that, talking about Helena Petrovna Blavatsky and certainly about the Georgia Guidestones. But these are great productions. Will help you really to understand what's going on. But Chris and his pastor, Pastor Joe Simmel, who put together They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, have come up with a new video, and it's about the occult agenda. And the first one is Harry Potter, a part of a spiritual, is it conspiracy?
Conspiracy,
right.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead and tell our listeners what you've learned about. Now, these are new listeners. They weren't here just a few moments ago when you were speaking. So tell them what you have learned about Harry Potter, the most widely translated book in all of history other than the Bible.
Other than the Bible, 55 different languages all around the world. It's estimated by some that every 30 seconds, somebody somewhere in the world begins reading a Harry Potter story. There's that many books in print, that many have been sold. One website reports that there's one Harry Potter book for every 60 families in the United States and Great Britain. When the last book was released, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, Barnes & Noble reported that they sold 80 copies per second within the first 24 hours. It's just an over-the-top phenomenon. It's way beyond anything else that the publishing industry has probably ever seen, at least in the 20th and 21st centuries.
But aren't the books progressively, each book gets a little darker, a little more into the occult, and a little more into the supernatural, into the demonic?
Well, in fact, J.K. Rowling at the beginning of the series claimed that that's what was going to happen. That's sort of the peculiar thing about the books and disturbing. She talks about it in her own quotes and interviews and so on, and this is the argument that we present in the video. She talks about how Harry Potter and his friends, the characters in the books and the idea of Hogwarts and so on, that these things came to her fully formed, as though they had already been designed by someone or something somewhere else, and that these things were put into her mind, and she simply wrote them down. Rowling, right from the beginning, with this in mind, now has this picture of how the series is going to progress.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're back here with Chris Pinto talking about his new series, The Occult Agenda, and of course, as we're talking about Harry Potter, is Harry Potter part of the occult conspiracy? And pointing out that J. Rowling, who's written these books, she is now a billionaire. I mean, she was a welfare mother before she started. She's now a billionaire. But she readily admits that these books get darker and darker as they progress and draw more of our young, impressionable children into this fascination with the occult. Go ahead, Chris.
That's certainly the case, at least we think so, from what we're seeing from the books, that they're so widespread. There's almost a frenzy about them among youth and also among many adults we show clips from the CNN story that they did. They did this big spread on Harry Potter when the latest book came out, The Order of the Phoenix, back in 2004, I think it was. And they showed people standing on the street corner and so on, ready for the release of the new film, and they're all screaming Harry Potter and this kind of thing, and dressed up like wizards and whatnot. But it's such an over-the-top phenomena, you have to wonder if it's merely the result of human engineering, or is there some kind of spiritual empowerment behind these books? And that's why we make the point, we quote Rowling, and how she talks about how these books seem to have been given to her from the spirit realm. She writes about in her books, and when she's got Harry and Hermione and Ron and these characters that are in these witchcraft and occult classes, where they're learning things like how to cast spells and develop potions and practicing divination and so on. In one of the classes, and we quote from the book, where the teacher is teaching the children how to open up their inner eye so that they can receive the gift of sight, and that's the sight we know. Anyone who studies the occult, I mean, you can just see in Hinduism, when they put that little red dot between their eyes, that symbolizes the third eye or the psychic eye, or the eye that allows somebody who's dabbling in various forms of occultism to see into the occult realm, into the other side, the spirit realm.
You know, the trouble is, Chris, that so many people in America, and mostly the Christians, are totally naive when it comes to these spiritual matters. I mean, they read in the Bible that God condemns sorcery and divination and witchcraft and all of these things, but they don't understand it's very real. And it's being introduced into our children's minds, into our public schools, into our Christian schools. These books, which are an introduction to the dark side and to demonology and to witchcraft, are actually being recommended by many of our major Christian ministries. How could they possibly be so naive?
Yeah, in fact, Robert McGee on his website, when he talks about Harry Potter, talks about how the Potter books were successful in England prior to coming to America, but that they were not such an overwhelming success that J.K. Rowling was able to quit her day job, as he puts it, and write full time. But it's only when Scholastic got the publishing rights to the books and got the books into the public school system that they became such a huge success.
And I think people have to know that Scholastic is the one of the major publishers of textbooks for the public schools in America today, and they publish a lot of textbooks that are used in our Christian schools as well, and they are the ones who pushed Harry Potter in the United States.
Yeah. In fact, McGee talks about on his website, he talks about how the proponents of the books initially, they knew that they weren't going to get them through the parental radar and so on because they had witchcraft involved unless they were able to get confirmation or approval from major Christian leaders. And that's exactly what they did. They had a number of, and we quote at least two of them, Charles Colson and then the magazine Christianity Today, both of whom are oracles for professing Christianity anyway, that are respected and adhered to by a lot of Christians in America. And so having approval from these big sources and so on is what really opened the door, many of us believe, and sort of normalized Harry Potter, made it very acceptable, not only to unbelieving Americans and, you know, millions of kids throughout the country, but also in churches and in, you know, in schools. You know, parents are not necessarily objecting to these books. Now, thankfully, since the phenomenon has hit and since more and more people have been speaking out against them and sounding an alarm, there are a number of parents who have come forward in schools who have actually banned the books and whatnot. So it's not fair to say that nobody has taken a stand against this. But it's amazing how the Harry Potter books have somewhat overwhelmed what is looked upon as the Christian community here in America.
And I agree with you, and I share your concern, and I think you did a magnificent job in the production of this video. It's very professionally done. It holds together from beginning to end, and of course you have so many wonderful clips from the Harry Potter, various Harry Potter films, that of course help to dramatize the message, the very dark message, and the message that's getting darker and darker as more of our children become fascinated with the dark side, and there's nobody there. Nobody is telling them that they're, of course, risking eternal damnation, because once they get involved in witchcraft, they really will, of course, have access to this supernatural power, but, of course, at the risk of their eternal souls.
Right. And one of the very interesting things, Dr. Stan, on and we show the clip from the movie right toward the beginning of the very first Harry Potter film, before he's really tapping into his magical powers and goes off to the Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry and whatnot, he encounters a serpent. And we have a section in the video where we have some marvelous commentary from Dave Hunt and Carol Matriciana, who talk about serpent worship and how the serpent is glorified and looked upon as a healer and looked upon as, you know, a divine being. throughout all the pagan religions of the world.
And of course, the pagan religions would embrace the serpent because the pagan religions are all Luciferian and founded in Luciferian. And of course, the serpent, of course, is abhorred in Christianity because he represents the devil. So why should the our churches and our church leaders be recommending that children would be reading books that, of course, almost glorify the serpent?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the point. But it's very chilling to watch, because as the series, as the Harry Potter series progresses, Harry's relationship and his ability to relate to serpents increases. And it turns out that Harry is what they call in the books a parcel tongue, which means he has the ability to communicate with serpents. We actually show a clip from one of the later films where Harry's making these, you know, demonic sounding noises coming out of his mouth as he's communicating with this serpent that has, you know, come about as the result of a magic spell. And it's, I mean, just to look at it, even if you didn't know any different, you'd have to be somewhat disturbed by this communication that's happening. But once you understand the significance of the serpent, that the serpent is the very creature that Satan used to bring about the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden, seducing Eve into partaking of the forbidden fruit, and Adam also, who followed her example, and this is what brought sin into the world and led to the fall of man. And it just seems so peculiar and so apropos that Harry Potter, right here at the beginning of the books, you know, is encountering this serpent and developing this relationship, and this relationship grows with a serpent as he moves forward in his abilities as a wizard.
And you know, I think the great, great tragic thing as far as this whole, not only the books, but certainly the videos, what they're doing, of course, is really going after the minds of our children and getting them introduced to the occult. And so it is such a short step from there, of course, to you know, beginning to explore the witchcraft and tapping in to the real dynamic energy that exists there. But of course, when you do that, why, once you've gotten deeply involved, it's almost impossible to get out. Some people do, but an awful lot of them don't. You know, Carol Matriciana has a wonderful video, and of course you have her on your video, but she's made one called The Gods of Entertainment, in which she interviews a man from Hollywood. And he says, you know, the purpose of Hollywood is not to make money. It's to destroy Christianity. So why are we letting our children watch these videos that are made by people who want to destroy Christianity? Are our parents just naive? No, the trouble is they don't have any leadership. Nobody's warning them what this is all about. And I think that this is why we're in so much trouble today. The church could turn things around tomorrow if we had the Christian leadership, but they'd rather talk about other things that make us feel good.
Yeah. That really seems to be the case. It seems there's, you know, so few people who are willing in churches to speak out, you know, for fear of, I guess, of being judgmental or, you know, of rocking the boat and so on.
Well, I've had people get very angry with me because I've opposed Harry Potter, and they tell me they're Christians and they've read it and they don't see anything wrong with the message there.
It's very common. I mean, there are Christians who are so-called Christians anyway, who are partaking in all sorts of things. In fact, I was I'm doing some research right now for a documentary that we're working on, exposing pornography and its impact on American culture and so on. And there's a story of a man who had supposedly been saved. He's a Christian man, a professing Christian, who was supposedly saved from his pornography addiction, but then he started watching Howard Stern's show. And his wife was concerned because he's watching Howard Stern, who has all of this pornographic material on there, that her husband, his wife, is concerned he's going to go back to pornography. And, of course, Stern widely advocates pornography, and yet this man fails to see that there's anything wrong with watching the kinds of things that occur on Howard Stern's show.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Chris Pinto. We will invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. You think that this is a tempest in a teapot? Do you think we should be concerned?
We have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma Really Happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, what really happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, what really happened.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty. Chris, have you ever heard that some of our Sunday schools may be actually using Harry Potter in churches because they just want to get the kids' attention? Is this a factor or not?
That people are using Harry Potter in churches?
Right, or at Christian schools?
Wow, you know what? That I'm not as familiar with.
All right, fine. It may not be true. I just somebody had asked the question, and I just wanted to see if you had heard anything at all about that.
I would certainly hope not. I mean, certainly people are taking the attitude of, you know, it's better to just have your kids reading. You know, at least they're reading something. That kind of that's sort of the approach, that it's okay for them to read about witchcraft as long as they take an interest in reading. And of course, you know, we in the Harry Potter video, we show how biblically God equates witchcraft and sorcery with fornication and adultery. He's, you know, God throughout the scriptures, Old Testament and New, is likening witchcraft to sexual immorality. And Pastor Joe makes a good point that, you know, if there were a book on pornography, you certainly wouldn't give that to your child and just say, you know, well, at least they're reading, you know. But witchcraft is viewed from the biblical perspective as being the same thing. And so it doesn't make any sense.
So much of what's going on in the world today just doesn't make any sense. And the thing is that somebody's got to be out here warning people, and I think you and Pastor Joe Shimmer are doing a tremendous job. I think your video of Megiddo 1 and Megiddo 2 are tremendous, and I think your Harry Potter, your occult agenda, and this new video on Harry Potter really get a tremendous message out there, pointing people to what this is really all about. You know, you can't understand anything going on in America today. You can't understand why the Supreme Court would take God and prayer out of our schools. Why are they against the Ten Commandments? Everybody thinks that, well, these people are atheists. No, they're not atheists. They're part of this movement, this conspiracy against God that is described in the Bible over and over again. And that's why the Anti-Christian Lawyers Union and all these other organizations are doing exactly what they're doing. That's why they had to get God out of our schools, because they wanted the souls of our children. They knew exactly what they were doing. There was no outcry but 50 years ago when they did it, and there's no outcry today.
Well, I certainly agree with you on the ACLU. I've heard them referred to as the, you refer to them as the anti-Christian lawyers union, and Dr. Kent Hovind calls them the American Communist Lawyers Union, which I think is also very insightful, because they do systematically through our justice system, through our legal system, they use our courtrooms to do what communism has done in a number of countries around the world.
But, of course, nobody ever points out that communism has been consistently funded here in the United States by the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, the great tax-exempt foundations, and, of course, some of the leading communists here were fabulously wealthy multimillionaires. In fact, Corliss Lamont, his father, Thomas Lamont, was, of course, a senior partner in Morgan, and Corliss Lamont was a well-known communist. So many of the communists here come from very fabulously wealthy families. Why? Because they understand the occult foundation of what's going on. They just don't want to understand what really energizes communism, or why our government can always find a new reason to give massive loans to the Chinese communists or to the Russian communists, or now that they're no longer communists, even though, of course, the KGB controls the intelligence, they control the secret police, they control the military, but, of course, they're not communists. We want the American people to know that. But the occult foundation of communism is what the average individual doesn't know. We focus on communism without understanding the force behind that. And as you well know, of course, what Reverend Wormbrand writing about Marx and Satan. Reverend Wormbrand, who was 14 years in the communist prison camp and came out and realized that the whole thing is satanic. And when you understand that, then everything communism has done, including killing 60 million people in Russia, killing 80 to 100 million in China, and the fact that this is never mentioned in the United States shows the occult influence right here in the United States, within our media, within our universities, within our political leaders.
Yeah, the way I've explained communism and Karl Marx, he does, Pastor Wormbrand does an excellent job in his book on Marx and Satan of demonstrating that not only was Karl Marx a Satanist by his own admission, he's writing poetry where, you know, he's saying, you know, things like, quote, my soul once true to God is chosen for hell, and things like this where he's openly writing about Satan, about hell, about damnation, about how he is damned, and about how he's making war against God, saying, quote, I must avenge myself against the one who rules above. So Marx was not an atheist in the sense that he did not believe there is a God or that God was real, but rather he used atheism as a weapon to try and destroy the work of God upon earth.
Hold that thought right there. This is a mess.
that. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well tie up cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
BHM Christian School is pleased to announce our first annual Children's Health Expo this Sunday, March 13th from noon to 4 p.m. BHM will present over 15 different sponsors to provide you with resources to grow healthy children who make healthy choices. Talk with experts in the fields of pediatrics, dental, optometry, and physical health. You can visit with our guests from United Way, American Red Cross, Spa Fitness, Trader Joe's, and many, many more. Your children can also participate in the Presidential Physical Fitness Challenge, 5 different events they can do over and over again. Mark your calendar for this Sunday, March 13th, from 12 to 4 p.m. and attend our Children's Health Expo. We are located at 427 Capitola Road Extension near 7th Avenue in Santa Cruz. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. An event you won't want to miss.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you agree, if you disagree, maybe you think Harry Potter is really great. It's so wonderful that our children are reading something. Well, we've got Bart calling from, of all places, Carmel. Hi, Bart. How are you doing?
Fine, sir. Thank you. Mr. Pinto, people of your courage and integrity are very greatly appreciated at this time. I would like to get your observations on an event which recently occurred, which hit me so strongly I was literally staggered by it. Here we have, during the inauguration, the President of the United States, George W. Bush, boldly and publicly giving the Hail Lucifer hand signal numerous times, not the Aggie hand signal, the Texas Aggie hand signal, but the a very clear and deliberate Hail Lucifer hand signal with the two middle fingers pressed to the palm and the pinky and the index finger held up as they do at rock concerts. And I just wonder, sir, do you think that their own arrogance now may bring about a faster awakening of the public? Because this to me was, it was almost unbelievable. What do you think about that?
Well, the, you know, that's such a, common symbol for people to use. I mean, it's not a symbol that I would use, and I certainly wouldn't recommend it. I remember seeing an issue of it was either Newsweek or Time magazine a couple of years ago when they were talking about Christian music, and they were showing a bunch of young Christians, Christian youth, that were, you know, excited about music, and they were all holding up. I mean, there was probably 11 of them, and probably 7 of them were holding up their hands in that very same symbol. And I've seen a number of people do it. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that the president was doing it as some kind of a deliberate thing. To me, the most disturbing aspect of the inaugural address was Bush at last mentioning that his ambition was to further the new order of the ages, which he stated there right toward the end.
And, of course, remember the part about the fire in the minds of men. He was talking about there is an element of fire in the minds of men. And, of course, that comes from James H. Billington's book, The Fire in the Minds of Men. And, of course, it is the idea that there is this occult desire in the minds of men to create a world government. It comes from Dostoevsky's book called The Possessed. But I don't think the president really writes his own speeches. He may not even realize the significance of the hands the signals he's given. He may actually think this is the Texas Longhorn sign of the college there. We don't know, but I think that maybe somebody ought to tell him that some people could misinterpret that as the devil's sign that he's giving.
That could be, maybe I overreacted to it, but I believe it is true that the Luciferians speak to each other publicly in their own language, counting on the masses not to understand what they're saying, but through the work of great citizens like you two, you're helping us to understand what is going on and what they're saying, and I thank you so much for it. God bless, gentlemen.
Thanks very much, Bart. And of course, we really don't know what the president was thinking when he used that symbol, but I think it was really quite appropriate, unappropriate. So, for our listener who doesn't know, if you hold up the index finger and the small finger, and then you bend the other fingers down onto the palm of your hand, if the thumb is extended to the side, that means I love you. If the thumb is brought over, pressed against the third and fourth fingers, pressed into the palm of your hand, this is a demonic or a satanic sign. But, of course, I believe that this is also a Texas Longhorn sign. In other words, a Texas football team. If anybody's out there who's an expert on it, let me know. I don't think we should overreact to it, but I think we should be well aware, of course, that many symbols have dual meanings. They have one meaning to people who are from the demonic side, an entirely different meaning to good people who have no idea the significance of what's going on. Would you think that would be a fair statement or not, Chris?
It's a very fair statement. In fact, if you read the book Masonic and Occult Symbols by Dr. Kathy Burns, right at the beginning of the book, she quotes a Masonic author who talks about how in the occult realm, symbols came to have two meanings, the exoteric or the outer meaning that was developed for the masses to give sort of a counterfeit definition to something that's being done or displayed. The classic example is the symbols on the back of the U.S. dollar bill. You can, every now and again, people will pass around emails talking about, you know, the noble symbolism of these, you know, the eagle and the feathers and all this kind of thing. And that's the exoteric symbolism. Then there's the esoteric, which is the inner or the hidden meaning of a sign or a symbol or a phrase or and so on. In fact, when if you read some of the writings, and I don't necessarily recommend that somebody do this, but if you're doing it for research, and you read some of the writings of Aleister Crowley, who was an outright Satanist, when Crowley writes about Freemasonry, and Crowley himself was a very high-ranking Mason, when he writes about Freemasonry and he talks about encountering certain Masonic rituals, the first thing that Crowley would do would be to decipher the exoteric or the outer layer of these rituals and so on to get to their inner meaning and find out what's the real hidden meaning behind what the ritual is doing. So that's almost like occult. I mean, the word occult means that which is hidden. And so occultism 101 is to have, you know, signs and symbols and so on that have double meanings, that mean one thing when you're speaking to the masses and something very different when you're behind closed doors. It's why secret societies are secret, because as some would say almost jokingly, they're secret because they're hiding something.
And of course, they have nothing to hide. Why are they hiding it? And I think we have to ask that question over and over again as we find our government becoming increasingly secret. still concealing what happened at Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941. So much of that information is still classified. So much of the information surrounding the assassination of President Kennedy is still classified. Why 42 years after the president was killed would you want to keep that information secret? Are you... Well, let's not get off the topic here. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Let me simply mention that Chris was speaking of Dr. Kathy Burns' book, Masonic and Occult Symbols. Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated, and we do carry that book. We think it's a very important one. But let's get back to your Harry Potter video. You know, as you're going around talking about the Harry Potter video, what sort of response are you getting from listeners?
Well, so far it's been favorable. We've had a number of churches that look to the video as a great witnessing tool for, you know, and a teaching tool for their youth programs and so on. And also other, you know, parent groups and so on, members of the congregation to give a biblical perspective. And that's really what we try to do, is to show, here's what the Bible has to say about witchcraft and sorcery. And we show what's written in the Scripture, not just in the Old Testament, that openly condemns witchcraft, and in fact, in the kingdom of King David and Solomon and so on, if you were a witch or a practitioner of magic arts in any form, or you practiced divination or anything, you were to be stoned to death. It was a capital offense. But then we show how it, from the eternal perspective, it is still a capital offense all the way through the New Testament. Paul, the apostle, writes that those who practice witchcraft will not inherit the kingdom of God. And Jesus says in the book of Revelation very clearly, that sorcerers, those who are practicing magic arts and so on, will all have their part in a lake that burns with fire. So witchcraft and sorcery are in no small way condemned by the whole counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation. It is not a small issue. You know, it's why the Scripture says, let no man deceive you with vain words, and just gives repeated warnings against this kind of thing. In fact, during the Great Tribulation period, written about in the book of Revelation, when God is pouring out wrath and judgment upon the earth, the Scripture says that despite the wrath of God upon them, they would not repent of their fornication, their adultery, and their sorceries. So there are repeated warnings about this, and we try to present, you know, just a very sober, straightforward view from the Bible. We try to avoid sort of an extreme right, you know, fanatical perspective, you know, teaching that, wow, if your kid reads one of the Harry Potter books, they're going to go off and become a witch. That may not necessarily be the case, but we do believe that what will happen, and Pastor Joe does a good job of making this point, is they're going to become desensitized one step at a time to the things of darkness, to the things of witchcraft and the occult that are exploding in our society today. And we see the seriousness of them, and we talk about this in the video as well, when you get into this interfaith, ecumenical, one-world religious movement that's happening right before our very eyes. The United Nations is very involved in this, the Pope, the Vatican, many religious leaders, whether it's in Hinduism or Buddhism or in Islam, voodoo priests, some professing Christian evangelicals are all converging together to create this one-world religious system. And we talk a lot about that in Megiddo Part 2, and we show some pretty incredible clips and footage. I think it's incredible, pretty startling stuff about what's really happening out there. And Wicca, or witchcraft, fits right into the middle of all this. I mean, Wicca is a part of the interfaith movement and is being embraced by certain so-called Christian leaders who are taking part in witchcraft rituals today.
Well, you know, my understanding is that the Archbishop of Canterbury just happens to be also be a Druid priest. The influence of the Druids, who are basically deeply involved with the occult, of course, they're associated with Stonehenge, It all ties together. So why would the Archbishop of Canterbury be associated at all with the Druids? Well, for the same reason that Winston Churchill would be involved with the Druids, could write terribly anti-Semitic articles that were published in the London Times and never be attacked for anti-Semitism. Anybody else did that, they'd be attacked. But when you're a Druid, you could always be sure that you're going to get good press. All sorts of fascinating things go on in the world today, and the average individual has no idea what's really happening. And, of course, these dark forces have infiltrated all aspects of Christianity, both Catholic and Protestant.
Yeah, the example that we give in our Harry Potter video is an Episcopalian priest who is actually praying with a Wiccan high priest, a guy named Don Frew, who's a member of the International Interfaith Council, and this guy practices what is called Gardnerian witchcraft or Gardnerian Wicca, and it's based upon the teachings of a man named Gerald B. Gardner, who is considered the father of modern witchcraft, and he's the guy who launched the Wicca movement back in the midst of the 20th century, and he did so, and we point this out in the video, that he did so under the direction of Aleister Crowley, who's the most nefarious Satanist of the 20th century, that Pastor Joe Schimmel has done a lot of research on, that you can find out about in his rock video. And we talked more about Crowley and his new eon, or his new age vision, in Megiddo Part 2. And then we give a brief overview of who Crowley is in the Harry Potter video, but Crowley directly influenced Gerald Gardner, and there are a number of quotes that demonstrate this. Gardner was a member of Crowley's OTO.
Now, Gardner, of course, was the man who started the modern Wicca movement, isn't that right?
That's right. He started the modern Wicca movement. He's considered the father of modern witchcraft. And Wicca is, a lot of Wiccans try to distance themselves from Crowley and from Satanism, and they will attempt to defend Wicca as being, it's white witchcraft. They do, their spells are about blessings and about nature and about, good things and practicing goodness, supposedly. But as Bill Schneebelin, who's a former witch, points out, Wicca is Satan's little white lie. It's Satan's introduction to Satanism. He draws people in through white witchcraft and leads them to believe that it's perfectly harmless, it's a perfectly acceptable, natural form of religion and so on, but those who are practicing witchcraft are drawn one step at a time into, from the white witchcraft into darker and darker levels until they're fully drawn into black magic. Yeah. And it's so interesting that J.K. Rowling admits right from the beginning, as you said earlier, Dr. Stan, she admits that her Harry Potter books were going to take exactly that route. They were going to begin with this sort of lighthearted magical approach, and then they were going to get darker and darker as the series moves forward.
And so they very, very subtly are drawing the children into the fascination with the supernatural, how to tap into that mysterious power that's out there. And the problem is that mysterious power is very real, but you don't want to access it for fear of eternal damnation.
Yeah, in fact, the Bible, one of the points, one of the discussions that I'll have with people from time to time is they'll suggest that, these witches or some psychics or people tapping into occult powers, well, is that real, or are they just faking it, or are they phonies, or whatever? And it's interesting to note that in the Bible acknowledges that witchcraft is real. Janus and Jambres, the two magicians of Egypt that were imitating the miracles of Moses. For those who have even seen the movie The Ten Commandments, Moses cast down his staff, it becomes a serpent, and Janus and Jambres come and they cast down their staffs and they become serpents. Well, the Bible doesn't say that they were faking these tricks. The Bible acknowledges, talks about witchcraft as though it is real. When in the New Testament, when the scripture in the book of Acts talks about Simon the Sorcerer. It says, indeed, his power was great. He did have great occult power.
You know, it's so interesting, Chris. I saw something the other day, and they were just showing the ridiculous things that go along. And they talked about how, you know, when was the last time you ever heard about a fortune teller winning the lottery? You know, as if, of course, you know, the fortune tellers really had no idea what was coming. Well, when you understand that Henry Ford and J.P. Morgan and Andrew Carnegie and the Rockefellers were deeply involved in the occult, then, of course, you begin to realize that sometimes why fortune tellers and people involved in the occult really do hit the lottery, only they hit it big time.
Yeah, that's the thing about the Harry Potter books. It seems that J.K. Rowling, by opening her inner eye and tapping into the occult realm, has definitely hit the jackpot with Harry Potter.
She's a billionaire. She has over $1 billion. Now, that's pretty good for a woman who was just on welfare less than a decade ago. But when you tap into the occult and then you can funnel it into the minds of children across America, well, you're going to be well rewarded. Chris Pinto, thank you so very much for being with us. Look forward to having you back again in the near future.
Thanks, Dr. Stan. God bless you, sir.
And you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And we're going to be back here in just a moment to wrap up this program. And remember, this is not imaginary, this is real. The dominant force in the world today, and most people have no idea, it's even a reality. Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to mention about some of the items we have here at Radio Liberty, which will help you to get a better grasp of what's really going on in the world today. We have a four-tape set. It's called Satanism and Deliverance. It's the story of a woman who goes to our church, who was raised in a satanic family, and of course was abused from the time she was 3 years old. And of course, you know, her search for understanding of why she had all the emotional problems she did, and then eventually the revelation what it was about. Satanism and Deliverance is one of the most amazing stories, because none of the psychiatrists and none of the psychologists she went to could help her. But eventually, a grass farmer who lives up in Oregon was able to help her, as he's helped literally hundreds, if not thousands, of other people. And you've never heard of Marion Knox, but you'll hear Marion Knox and, of course, Jane talking on our four-tape set, Satanism Deliverance, available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, I hope you enjoyed our interview with Chris Pinto. His video on Harry Potter is available. It's the first in a series on the occult agenda, and it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't seen his video, Megiddo 1, or Megiddo 2. We recommend both of them to you. They're both available either on video or on DVD, and they're very, very professionally done. And then, of course, the Harry Potter film is done in conjunction with Pastor Joe Schimmel, who started out in the occult, started out in rock music, and was getting all of these wonderful lyrics channeled to him. And of course, he didn't know where they came, but they all made... He didn't even understand the meaning of a lot of the lyrics he was writing until one day he noticed that they were all demonic, and they were getting darker and darker. And then he realized, of course, he was channeling from the dark side, became a Christian, and then eventually a Christian minister. And he put together, they sold their souls for rock and roll. I think one of the most dynamic Christian films I've ever seen. And you'll actually see this, all the rock concerts. You'll see Michael Jackson walking backwards. And as you watch this film, you'll understand why Michael Jackson is in the terrible straits he is today. And especially after you see Michael Jackson walking backwards. That's the Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version of that film. And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will want to get Aleister Crowley and his friends. It's a 4-tape set that we put together. Interviews on Aleister Crowley, who is, of course, the man who inspired Alfred Kinsey, Timothy Leary, Harry Hay, who, of course, organized the gay liberation movement, and so much more. Known affectionately to his friends as the other Loch Ness Monster. We carry a great book on the Led Zeppelins, a very popular music group from years past called Fallen Angel. That's Fallen Angel. We have so many books on this, helping you to understand how everything fits together. Because there are no unanswered questions. There's a very real reason why we're over in Iraq today. And believe me, it has nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction. And if you think our boys are coming home, you're sadly mistaken. Well, I fear that we have entered World War III. Terrible things lie ahead of us. The collapse of our economy is not too far away, as we run up massive deficits every year. There is no Social Security Trust Fund. Contrary to everything you're being told, there is no pot of money sitting there. It's all been spent. And, of course, 13 years from now, let's see, it's 2018, when more people are retired and we're putting out more than we're taking in, why at that point the government's going to have to begin borrowing or printing more money, or simply cut back on the amount of money it puts out. We're in real trouble. If you look at the truth of the matter, we owe something like $72 trillion. There's no way to pay it off. We can't tell the American people that. That relies on the government, the media, our politicians, our leaders are lying to us. So you need to get the information available from Radio Liberty. Please tell others about our website at radioliberty.com. If you want to understand what's happening financially, read the September and October 2004 newsletters at radioliberty.com. Listen to our archive programs. You can listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the Internet, either at Radio Liberty or at the other websites where our programs are heard. You can listen to our programs on shortwave. Your job is to get others to listen to our programs, to convince them that they need to, of course, to listen to get another slant, the information that you're not going to get from Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly or Dan Rather or Brian Williams or any of the other pundits who are played so well, not to reveal but to conceal the truth from the American people. Our number again, 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, the video we've been talking about today is on Harry Potter. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are at war. Your family, your future, your freedom are under attack today. So pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.